This is Gabriel Sunday, and, well, I'm here because, at this moment, we need podcast news more than ever. And, well, I'm sure you're thinking, we have Audie Cornish, Judd Upham-Rodd, Michael Barbaro, but are they really enough? Does Terry Gross, John Lovett, Ina Jaffe's bring you all the stories? And, well, yeah, maybe you say, well, Sarah Koenig, Lakshmi Singh, Ira Glass, they're enough. But then again, are they? Join me as we bring you the stories you've already heard, but you want to hear again in a different way. From the Center for Investigative Journalism, this is The Sunday Show. I'm Gabriel Sunday. See you Sunday. Previews drop November 18th, and full episodes are available Sunday, December 9th on Starburns Audio.
It's a good show.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, this week.
Yeah, so how do we explain what's going on?
This is an intro.
Is it an intro or an apology?
A little bit of both. Well, we haven't listened. We don't know what we recorded the other night in Pioneer Town.
We literally don't remember most of it.
We sat there coherently having a conversation. I don't remember about what.
I don't know how coherent it was. You almost barfed. Do you remember that?
No.
Towards the end.
Really?
And I'm sure Starburn will leave it in there. Don't edit that shit out. Like literally towards the end, you're like, I think I'm going to barf. And I was like, I really, for like 2 seconds, and you had that look in your eye. It's like, oh shit, he's going to throw. Not only is he going to barf on the air, he's going to barf on me.
Oh boy.
So that was scary. You don't remember that?
I don't remember anything we talked about.
Well, the show began. Put it this way, this episode you're going to hear began with me taking my pants off and ended with Kyle almost barfing. So
I'm sure Butcher Box is happy to sponsor this one.
We had fun.
This was recorded at our first ever Boogie Monster Company Christmas party.
Uh-huh.
That was just Dave and I.
Yeah.
That we held in Pioneer Town.
Uh-huh.
At Pappy and Harriet's. We stayed at the Pioneer Town Motel behind Pappy and Harriet's to see a band we both love and enjoy, Old 97s.
Yeah.
They were playing. So we drove out to Joshua Tree, and we got there in Old 97. Well, Rhett Miller is a friend of comedians, sweetheart of a man.
Super nice guy.
Yeah, he's like, you guys get food through us, because I don't know if the kitchen's really open right now. And so Dave immediately got a full rack of ribs.
Well, I asked the tour manager, and I think his name's Keith or Kevin, but he was super cool dude.
Everybody was nice.
Fan of the show, apparently. And I was like, I was like, hey, man, for real, like, can I get, you know, like, I don't want to step out of line. He's like, get whatever you want. And I was like, well, all right, I'm going to take that full rack of ribs. And the half rack was an option.
Full rack.
Fuck that. Dude, talk about surreal. I tried to play it cool. I met Rhett once before when we went to see him solo at the Roxy one time.
Okay.
Was it the Roxy?
Troubadour.
And but I didn't I've been a fan of the old 97s literally for 20 years.
Yeah.
Like 97, 98, like their second or third album, I got on board. Yeah. Been a fan ever since. If you'd have told me 10, 15 years ago that one day I'd be in Pioneer Town on the old 97s tour bus eating a full rack of ribs that I didn't pay for about to go see their show, I'd have told you
free
it's crazy.
Like the free ribs is part of your fantasy.
Yeah, yeah. If you'd have told me 20 years ago that I'd just be getting free ribs somewhere, I'd be stoked.
Your reputation will get you free ribs.
Yeah.
Well, success is painted in many colors.
Yeah. But yeah, usually you want to, you know, when you got the tour bus and the rock star stories and stuff, like, for example, you know, I may have mentioned before that more than one occasion I probably smoked some weed on Sturgill Simpson's tour bus. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a whole nother level when you're sitting there eating a rack of free ribs on the old 97 tour bus. That was a lot of fun. And then the show was great.
The show was great. Rhett did solo bit. And then Mike Casey.
So
did
funny.
Magic.
Very funny.
Comedy magic, yeah.
Yeah.
In between. And then old 97's play. And then we got to go backstage, and Mike Casey did close-up magic for us. Get his name's right. Right? I get that right?
Let me double-check. I'm pretty sure it's Mike Casey.
Be a dick, yeah.
But close-up magic and, like, so good. Like, literally, like, I mean, we were just in awe. Like, you were so impressed that you were getting pissed.
I was going to fight him.
You were getting angry.
When magic's that good, I want to fight the person doing it.
Yeah.
Because I know, I either have to believe you're a sorcerer or you possess these tricks. And either way, I got to fight you.
Do you remember some of the tricks he did that really blew your mind?
Remember the one where he's like pretending he would get two people with their eyes closed. He would touch one person, the other person felt it.
Uh huh. That one really tripped me. Michael Casey, by the way.
Michael Casey.
On Twitter, at Casey Magic. Casey as in C A S E Y. Casey Magic. Yeah. That trick blew my mind. Do you want to did I explain that? Who knows if
We're not going to explain magic we saw drunk on a podcast. This whole intro is an apology for what happened that night.
Very impressive, though.
We met a dog named Diane Keaton. The guitar player from Portugal the Man had a dog named Diane Keaton.
Yeah, we met him. And who else did we meet?
Pamela DeBar.
Yeah, how cool is
that? Legendary groupie. Pamela DeBar was also out. A lot of people out in the desert.
What a weird night.
We started by having drinks in the room. You fell over a log at 7:30.
It was pitch black. I couldn't see.
I saw it.
Well, you got better eyes.
I just hear a clunk. I turn around.
Yeah.
You're fucking ass up over some bench in front of the hotel room.
I caught myself.
Then you were smart enough to pace yourself. I pulled one over. We're in the bar. They got the menu up on a chalkboard behind the bar, Pappy and Harriet's. And I'm joking. They had cream of mushroom soup. And Dave's going to get drinks. I'm like, give me a shot of that cream of mushroom.
I thought
get
it was
two shots of cream of mushroom.
I thought it was a joke
and
shot.
You ordered them from the bartender.
Yeah. And he
What'd you say to him?
Well, before you even said that, I had already seen that sign.
Just to set the tone for the episode you're about to listen to. This is before this.
And I think I explained this here again pretty soon, so I won't go into great detail. I had seen the sign before, and I thought, that's a weird... I wasn't thinking restaurant. I was thinking bar, rock band. I wasn't thinking food. And they had the big chalkboard, and I've seen...
You just ate a full rack of ribs from this place.
But I ate it on the bus, so I got confused. I
was nothing but people...
Disoriented.
Servers running by with steaks and burgers.
I just thought it was a joke shot. And when you said you wanted one, I thought you were being sincere. Like, oh, Kyle's really cranking it up. He's willing to try this terrible asparagus shot. And I didn't want to say cream of asparagus. So when I ordered, I said, hey, man, let me get two Bud bottles. And you know what? Let me try a couple of those asparagus shots. And he goes, what? And I said, two of the cream of mushroom, cream of asparagus. And he goes, that's a soup.
Because it said soup.
Yeah.
Along with the words cream of asparagus.
I thought it said shot at the bottom. So... And then I think I'm sorry, you're going to hear this twice because I think I drunkenly explained this again. But even in that moment, it wasn't
did we talk about this?
I think so. But even in that moment, it wasn't like, aha, Kyle got me. It was, oh man, Kyle's going to be upset that this is a real thing. And then I sincerely told you, like, hey man, actually, you know what? That's just soup. And you're like,
so this is the same story you're about to hear.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Well.
But, it was a good time. Oh, Mike Casey, by the way, small world. Not small world. I never met the lady. Huge fan of his girlfriend, Lydia Lovelace. What do you know? Big alt-country, you can call her a star. She's pretty badass. But, Mike Casey, the magician, dating her. So
yeah, Pappy and Harriet's was a real vortex. Who's that?
Yeah, it was a good night, man.
It was a fun night, and... we got back. Yes, was that yesterday? And I was
cold.
Yeah, it was cold because you wouldn't let us keep the heater on.
Yeah, I don't like the heater.
Yeah, you don't like the heater. Froze our dicks off.
Wasn't that bad?
It was terrible.
Bundle up.
You were dressed like you were sleeping outside. Well. We're indoors. We paid for a hotel room.
I just had my hoodie on. My hood up. You know, keep my ears. You just warm.
It sucked, man. It was cold. It's cold in here right now.
But yeah, so sorry about what you're about to hear. I think we ramble.
I think I just talk about the desert a lot.
We talked about the desert. We talked about magic. We go into great detail about the magic tricks. And let me say, I was drunk. In no way was I shitting on the brilliance of Mike Casey's magic. I was just talking about, like, the card tricks, they don't impress me as much as, like, the other stuff. because the card tricks are just, it's all, you're going to hear
this
shit.
You like the illusion, you like the mentalism.
Well, I like the shit. Well, I think it's like, okay, like the card trick, it's like, okay, I don't know how you did that, but I know in the ballpark, I kind of know what you did. You did some sleight of hand, you did some trickery, and that's impressive.
I'm going to say this right now, Dave, no, you don't.
And I can't do that.
You
but,
don't know what they did.
But, no, I don't know exactly what it did, but I kind, but the other
don't
stuff, it's
say,
like.
Stop saying kind of.
The other stuff, it's like, I have nowhere to begin. I have no idea.
There's no way you know what they did.
No, I don't. But the other stuff just seems like sorcery. You kept yelling at him. Like, you were getting, like, physically angry at how good he was.
Him.
You were like, you're the devil. You're a sorcerer.
Was that being a real asshole? At
Get away from you were being an asshole, but in a way that people knew you were joking.
But was it like obnoxious? Like, people were, like, wishing I would leave?
No. It was just like, right. Kyle's sticking with this bit, huh?
I was. But
you threw
was
your wallet at him.
Oh, did I?
Yeah. Yeah, you told him to go ahead and take your wallet. So, yeah, good time was had.
I mean, I'm laughing at it. I guess I would have thought it was funny
so,
if I read it.
You know, before you, let's go ahead and get out in front of this, before anybody comments that they've, it's just a bunch of couple of drunk idiots. Yeah, we know. All right, so we're telling you what you're getting. If you want to go ahead and just stop it right now, you don't have to listen to it. But, yeah, this is us pretty drunk at 2 in the morning, freezing our asses off in a cabin in Pioneer Town, California.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. And you'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
Check, fucking check. Check, check, motherfucking check. And guess what? Old fucking Starburns can edit out if they want to be Hollywood professionals about it.
True.
Take your shoes off.
You
want to
take my pants off?
Well, all right. Well, I'll open it up. Shit. Straight up red boxer briefs.
Yeah, man.
Like a clown running a marathon.
You know what these are?
Yeah.
These are my Mack Weldon.
Oh yeah,
free underwear.
Oh, we were sponsored by Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon, order three sizes up. Mack, hey, Mack Weldon, no fat chicks. Isn't that really what they're? This episode is not sponsored by Mack Weldon, but it used to be, and they're shitty. They're not shitty. They just made stuff. All right, let me just try and explain the atmosphere right now. Okay, I'm coming a little cold. I'm going to turn it up, bitches. We are in. Oh, no, hold on. Did I turn that up or turn it down? Okay, no, it's up. Okay. We're in the Annie Oakley suite of the. Of the Pioneer Town Motel. And Dave wasn't sure we should record an episode right now. But I think we should record a very special episode. Dave, go on and check your mic.
Hey, everybody.
Check that mic. Are you going to get loud or are you going to be mellow, Dave?
Josh, what's your name?
Okay, you're a mellow fellow.
No, I'm good. I'm a mellow fellow. Mellow fellows, please.
I didn't get a drink around me or nothing. We just walked into the room and we settled up. You got into your sweatpants.
Yeah, man.
Smart move. I should have done that.
Yeah, dude. You're in too deep now.
I forgot my toothbrush. This is a Boogie Monster Christmas party. Dave, this is a Boogie Monster Christmas party.
That's true.
How do you feel about tonight?
What? I don't know. The thing about office Christmas parties is you get to see
coworkers
drunk.
Yeah, this is our office Christmas party.
Maybe that's a side that you don't see. That's a side you don't see if you're coworkers.
Oh, boy. Can you believe?
This is new ground for us. I've never seen you like this,
Yeah,
Kyle.
We're always such professionals. We had inadvertently hired magicians and musicians.
Yeah. Red, yellow, leather, yellow.
What?
Magicians and musicians sounds like red, leather, yellow, leather.
But you just said red, leather, yellow.
It's funny.
You know what the red, best is that we,
red, if, leather, red,
if
yellow.
We make this a Patreon episode and be like, thank God you paid for this.
Yeah. This is a premium content.
You fucking mongoloids.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go make some premium content?
Premium contents. Premium tents. Premium tents.
Yeah, dude.
Tents,
all right.
Tents full of preemies.
Let's pull it together. And through the nose, out
this
the mouth.
This might not air. What? Okay, what did we do tonight? We drove to the desert. To Pappy and Harriet's. To see the old 97s. Play a fun show. This, as we build it to ourselves.
Yeah.
This is a Boogie Monster Christmas. The office Christmas party.
Yeah.
And now it's just me and you.
It's just me and you. It's no just, wives or girlfriends, no family.
Nope, it's me and you in a hotel room.
No plus one.
There's no, and I'm sad. You're on a fold out bed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be.
Well, I know
you're of a without being insulting, a wider girth than me. Yeah. Would you like the big bed?
No,
I'll give you the big bed.
No,
I'm a little guy. Dave, I'm a little guy. I'll sleep on the fold-out.
You know what's crazy?
Or it's a queen bed, and I'll go back-to-back with you. Uh-huh. I'll go ass-to-ass, like, you know, in a sleep way.
Uh-huh. Butts-to-butts?
Yeah, I'll go butts-to-butts. Uh-huh. Ass-to-ass means, like, you're, like, straight up, there's a dildo. But butts-to-butts just means you're just back. That's just back-to-back.
We can't clean my
Nobody ever bills movies ass-to-ass. Don't spit up your water, Dave. Ooh, Lethal Weapon 1 and Lethal Weapon 2, ass to ass. But back to back, that's fine. But if Spike TV wants to say they're ass to ass, well, that's a loose cannon. Also, a loose cannon, not threatening. It means it has poor aim.
Oh, that's true.
Right? Oh, there's a loose cannon. Good. Fucking, hey, cut loose, man.
What is the literal of loose cannon? What do you mean by loose?
The cannon could go off whenever. But a cannon, it's one shot and a long reload. It's not a threatening weapon. It's threatening and it's one effort.
Yeah.
But then, like, boom, and then you're just, okay, get another one, put it in there. Musket it down.
But if it's a loose cannon, does that mean like it's a...
Dave, do you have enough thoughts like to carry you to carry this through me getting a beer?
Yeah, I can probably pull it together.
All right, let me get you spurned on a thing.
What does that mean? Spurned.
Well, let me get you going on a topic.
Okay, I got you.
How about them stars out there?
So a lot of them. No, but I wanted you to finish. I wanted you to finish the setup. We're in.
No, the setup is the stars.
No, we're at the old 97 show at Pappy and Harriet's in Pioneer Town. And, dude,
Katie made us fun cups. Here's whiskey.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's whiskey in her fun cups.
My girlfriend customized some solo cups for the Boogie Monster Retreat. Mine's got a big D on it because of Dave. And Kyle's has a K because of Kyle.
This is not compelling listenership, Dave.
What I'm trying to say, I'm trying to tell the secrets that I just ate a full rack of ribs on the old 97's tour bus.
You ate it like 3 hours ago.
Yeah, I know, but that's something to talk about.
You
want
one of these?
No, I don't want any more beer. I'm going to drink this Nestle water. Hey, Kyle, when you think of Nestle. Like, I know that this doesn't probably taste at all like chocolate, but I just feel like they're using the same pipes as the chocolate.
I listen to,
you know, Nestle water.
I listen to a podcast. I listen to an informed podcast about how Nestle's terrible.
Oh, yeah? It's just bad folks?
Yeah, they dominate the global landscape.
Sorry I brought it up.
You know what Butcher Box says, Dave?
I got an idea.
Butcher Box delivers healthy, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, free-range or organic chicken, and heritage bred pork.
Nice.
That means it's from good parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're eating their kids.
Yeah.
The incredible quality of Butcher Box meats starts with a commitment to raising animals humanely and free of antibiotics and hormones. Each box comes with at least 9 to 11 pounds of meat, which is enough for 24 individual-sized meals or one breakfast for Dave. You can choose from 5 different box types. All beef, beef and chicken, beef and pork, mixed box, custom box. Let you choose your own cuts. Choose from curated boxes, including a mix of high-quality beef, chicken, and pork, or customize your box. Dave, how would you customize your box?
Oh, man, I'd probably just go with all pork.
All pork.
I'm
Look
a
at
pork
that
guy.
He knows where the money's at.
Yeah.
The meat is frozen at the peak of freshness. You get a frozen pig that you could reanimate if you'd like to. Otherwise, it's frozen at the peak of freshness in individual vacuum-packed, biodegradable packaging. Oh, wow, they're really thinking about it. All meat is delivered right to your doorstep. High-quality, healthy protein you can trust. 100% grass-fed and finished. Free-range organic chicken. Heritage breed pork. That's old world pork. Before they bred all the fat flavor to make it the other white meat. I like that old world pork.
Mm-hmm.
That's old. I just feel like it's like a pig with a babushka and a broom made out of hay sweeping out a sidewalk in front of a haberdashery. Butcher Box bacon is sourced from heritage breed pigs and uncured, nitrate-free, and sugar-free. Antibiotic, hormone-free, Butcher Box believes in a healthier food system where everyone has access to meats the way nature intended, free of antibiotics and hormones, and humanely raised on open pastures. I can agree with that. Cook with a peace of mind knowing you're feeding your family healthy, high-quality meat. Selection. Butcher Box carefully curates the finest selections and makes it a breeze to customize your own delivery. Build your own box to get exactly what you and your family love. What does your family love, Dave?
Complaining?
All right. Incredibly convenient. They can't complain about that. Do they complain about convenience? It's incredibly convenient. Think of Butcher Box as your neighborhood butcher delivered right to your door on dry ice. Free shipping anywhere in the 48 states.
The lower 48.
Oh!
It means it's not free to Hawaii and Alaska.
Man, yeah, but they got plenty of their own meat.
That's true.
So you're on your own. Mm-hmm. Choose your delivery frequency with a customizable subscription. Recipes are available on the Butcher Box website, and videos are available to follow along on the Butcher Box YouTube channel. Or you could just listen to Dave.
Uh-huh. Free bacon and $20 off your first box when you go to butcherbox.com/boogie and enter code boogie. That's butcherbox.com/boogie, code boogie. $20 off your first box and some free bacon.
And the website's got, you got your own recipes and videos on the website, and the quality of the meat. Like, this is like, even being a vegetarian, I'd say, hey, that this, like, if you're going to eat meat, this is the way you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bringing it to your house.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make a fun science experiment with the dry ice when you're done, which is not the focus that they're intending.
Yeah.
But there's that. Butcher Box.
We saw some magic. That was pretty cool.
Mike Casey kind of fucked up our lives a little bit.
You were very affected by it.
Do you not think magic's exciting?
No, I do. I do think it's exciting.
Did you not think that magic was exciting?
I think it was exciting. I think it was. I think he just knows how to do the
magic. You mean he knows how to do his job well?
Like the card tricks. Like, it's impressive, but it's like, oh, it's like yo-yoing. Like if somebody came in here and just yo-yoed the shit out of the
physical
place.
Yeah, I could.
The fucking card tricks are physical. When he's shuffling
but
and switching
nobody's
around.
Nobody's like, oh, did you think the yo-yo couldn't do this? You're like, no, I could. Think it could do this.
I'm saying he's mastered a skill, a manipulation skill with his hands and his fingers. Like that, and that's still like a skill. Like, oh, that's really cool. The same way I can't do those crazy yo-yo things.
But the skill was also your mind got fucked with. Did you not? You knew what was going to happen every time? Like your mind wasn't blown?
I knew he was going to do something. He was going to flip those fucking cards around a little bit and be like, voila. And I'm like, ah, shit. Like, I knew some variation of that was going to happen every time.
But you weren't, that ah shit moment wasn't revelatory?
No, it was really cool. Now, I'm just talking about, mind you, I'm just talking about his card trick stuff, like when he's shuffling and switching around. Now, yeah. He did do some stuff, other stuff, where I was like, holy fucking shit. For example.
That's what I mean. That's yeah. that part.
But for example, with the card tricks, when he somehow took all the black cards and put them in the deck without us knowing it.
Let me try to, we need, like, because this is an audio medium. Mm-hmm. He's doing the card tricks and blah-bitty, blah-bitty, blah.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're watching him. You're watching his hands. And he's shuffling. Is this your card? Is that your card? Kind of shit. Also, by the way, well, I'm shuffling these cards. This is only half the deck. And it's only the red cards. And he's kneeling on a carpet in a cabin slash basically hotel room in front of the band that just played, who's already seen this shit and yeah. who still will gather around to watch other people get their minds blown.
Yeah.
And a dog named Diane Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
A dog, not surprisingly, Diane Keaton didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Because Diane Keaton, she's a wise lady. She's kind of over it.
Mm-hmm.
But already doing a full deck of card tricks for people. This is card, but and in the midst of it, the box for the cards is across from him.
Yeah.
Not even an arm's reach.
Yeah, about 3 feet away.
Three, four feet away.
A little more than arm's reach.
And then all of a sudden he shows, oh, by the way, there's only half the cards here. Oh, look, they're all the red cards or black cards. Where's the other half? Oh, let me pick up the box of cards. Oh, here they are, all the red cards in that box that has been sitting there. And it is the most. Oh!
Okay, you skipped a step.
What did I skip?
A really minor one, but it could be crucial.
No. Clue me in, man.
There was at some point when he was... All right, the first part of the trick is basically...
If you saw some trickery go down.
The first part of the trick, after he gets done with his flim-flam shuffle, he does something where he stretches the cards up.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like if you... A slow motion shuffle, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
Where the cards expanded.
He's dropping them, yeah.
And then... He lets them hover, expanded for a second. Then he squishes them back down. And when he squishes them back together, then you realize, oh, shit, half the deck is missing.
Oh, so you saw the setup.
So it's a half deck of cards now. Then, like you said, he goes, hey, where's all the black ones? Where'd they go? And then he reaches over for the box of cards. But in between those two things... He did something.
By the way,
he pulled out a card.
Turning up the southern accent for "Where's all the black ones? Where'd they go?" That's going to turn into a thing. Somebody's going to edit that.
But before he revealed that all the black ones were in the box, he did something, some sort of arbitrary. Hey, Dave, was this your card? Blah blah blah. And he threw it on the floor and made me bend over and pick it up.
Yeah.
Do you remember when I struggled to bend over and pick it up?
Well,
so that makes me think that was a decoy.
But
and while we're all looking at Dave's fat ass trying to bend over and pick up a card,
but still that's
he's
the
sliding
skill.
Over there doing some shit with it.
But now that's still the skill of the magician mm-hmm. is to know that I got every. Do you realize like when a magic trick goes down and you realize you were looking at the thing they wanted you to look at and you're like, motherfucker, if I would have just looked at the other thing, and then a good magician does a trick. Where they do the next thing they do, their hands are going up. You're like, I'm not going to look at the hands. I'm going to look at the other thing. And you look at the other thing, and the trick is going on in their hands. That's good magic.
Mm-hmm.
God damn, I love good magic.
Another thing he did, and I caught him two or three times, and he gave me a look like, you motherfucker. Like every time he, you know, when they do the thing where they like pick a card, and I go to pick a card, and he's subtly moving the cards around. So, like, the one my finger aims for, yeah, it does. By the time it lands, he's already shifted another card in front of it, meaning he wants me to pick the card he wants me to pick. I caught him doing that two or three times. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but also, I don't think you caught him.
The cards were never not moving. Every time you go to pick a card, they're jumbling around. Like, hey, man,
we
be
all
still.
I think we all got had by a fantastic magician.
Oh, no, it was great. And I'm not trying to be, like, the fucking skeptic. Like, I enjoyed it. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. He tricked the shit out of me. I'm saying...
You got tricked, son.
I'm saying it's like...
Son, you got tricked.
I want to see the magic. And this isn't a slight on him.
This hurt my heart.
This isn't a slight on him at all. But I want to see the magic where I'm, like, literally... Okay, a ghost did that. Or
well,
like,
that's where I was at.
Where so. This was, like, to me, was really impressive, but it was like, you've learned to manipulate these cards in a way and distract me in a way that, okay. But, like, it was fucking crazy impressive. But there was also a lot of doublespeak and a lot of fast talk to where, like, okay, I think
but
he does
that
on
purpose. But we were also just in a hotel room watching it.
No, I know,
but
I think...
We weren't watching on a stage with lights and this and that.
But I think he's speaking very fast and asking a ton of questions to kind of distract you.
Yeah, he's doing magic, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's leading you one way and then fucking shim-shamming you another.
But it was cool. Now, one thing... Okay, here's what I wanted to say. So a lot of the tricks that I'm talking about now, a skeptic like me or whomever could be like, okay, it's a mechanical thing. You learn how to do whatever. Now, he did do a trick that does qualify as the holy shit, did a ghost do that?
It was all of them!
The thing. No, and they were all great. I'm not slighting them at all. But, like, most of it was like, okay, it was a mechanical thing. Now, the one that wasn't mechanical at all, or at least I don't know how the fuck he did it, was where he had a couple. And we saw this at the live at the big show, and then he did it again in the green room after the show. But where?
Ooh, that's some fuckery.
Where? Okay, he had two people, like a couple, two volunteers, and both times it was, I believe, like a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, and wife. So, long story short, the wife, they sit like 4 feet apart, and he's kind of and they're squared off.
Cards the game, yeah.
And he's kind of the referee, and he makes the woman sit. Kind of just on the ground and close her eyes and hold her arms and hands out and tells her to get really focused and like, hey, you know, right. And he would say something like, all right, I'm think about your knee. I want you to think about your knee. Think about your arm. I want you to think about your arm. Think about your hands. I want you to think about your hands. Are you focused? You focused? Cool, cool, cool. Yeah. So he'd make her close her eyes, hold her arm out. And then he'd say, all right, when you feel something, let me know what you feel. I may or may not touch you. If you feel something, let me know what you feel. Then he'd go over to her husband or boyfriend, whose eyes were open, but he would hold his hands out or whatever, and he'd touch the guy on the wrist. And then she'd go, you know, she would, I don't know if she signaled or whatever, but he said, did you feel anything? She goes, yeah, you touched me on the wrist. And we're like, holy shit. And then he'd do it again. All right, you feel something again? Let me know what you feel. And he'd go over and touch the husband on the nose. And he'd go, hey, lady, did you feel anything? Yeah, you touched me on the nose. That's the shit that was fucking me.
Hey, lady, did you feel anything is my whole sexual MO, by the way.
But that was crazy. Because we could watch him.
But do you have any explanation for that?
So, no, that's what I'm saying. I have zero explanation for that. That's why that kind of stuff was a little more impressive to me. Because the other stuff's like, yeah, I don't really know what you're doing, but I know you're doing something. This was like, I don't know what.
I gotta say, whole scope, good job. Mm-hmm.
No, and I'm just drunk. I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to shit on it.
Nah, man.
These are my perspectives from, like, I don't think I've ever seen a magic show, like, up close like that.
You ain't ever seen a magic show?
I don't think so.
Dave.
Yeah.
Dave, you deserve more magic.
I grew up without magic in my life.
As I was saying, and he's also Lydia Lovelace's.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that. All country fans, we're talking about Lydia Lovelace's boyfriend. So I didn't even realize that.
But eventually,
big fan
she's
of her.
She's going to be like, the magic's gone. And she's going to write a real poignant song. Derek Delgadio, that's a show I saw in New York. And that was a magic show that was emotional.
Uh-huh.
Like he made a magic show still be an emotional thing. Like, well, there was a conversation that was having with old Rhett. Like, can you make comedy about being like an emotional thing as opposed to like, I fucked your mom. Boy, Trump's bad or whatever bullshit. Can you still make it like a down home? I don't know where we're going with this tangent, but.
Let me add this on that trick and we'll move on.
Shit, man. We don't have to move on.
The trick I'm talking about.
This episode's going to be 23 minutes long. You know why? Because y'all fucking idiots got plenty of episodes that were well over an hour. And Kyle and Dave need to retire to our beds in Pioneer Town.
This was your idea.
Or maybe we'll take the mics off the stands. Uh-huh. And we'll just hold them to our chests.
No.
And we'll record a whole episode laying in beds.
No.
You don't want to do that?
No.
We could do it. It might never air, Dave.
When
I'm drunk too, bitch.
Just relax.
I'll fucking bite you, baby. Oh,
okay, we can do that.
No, I don't want to. I'll lose bad.
When
I know that.
The joke I was talking about where he would touch the man's nose and the woman would be like, holy shit, you touched my nose.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You asked him, you said, hey, could you do it to people who've already seen this? Like, could you do it to Dave and I? And he went, nah, it wouldn't work. So that
is but we don't know why.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Why?
My phone buzzed, and if my phone buzzed right now because it's him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. I got a new remote control car delivered.
Speaking of like fast talking. Like,
I'm at the point right now. Where my phone buzzed, and I bet it's Mike Casey going, it's the reason I can't do it with you guys is because, you, man, I never gave you my number.
Yeah, he can hear what we're saying.
It was
good.
It bridged that magic, weird, psychic shit. Fuck, that was great. Like, old 97s were great, too.
Yeah.
But
we're here for the magic.
We drove out to the desert to see some magic. Nah, man, real magic.
Man, speaking of fast talking magic, I posted up at the bar halfway through the show.
Fast talking magic.
I posted up at the bar. We watched about an hour of the whole show, and then my feet started to hurt.
Yeah, I'm old. I lost it for a minute. I felt bad.
Yeah, but I found a good piece of real estate at the bar. So I posted up at the bar and could see the show, and that was great. I took some edibles, and they were starting to kick in.
Yeah, you got high. I got drunk.
I'm just sitting there at the bar enjoying the show from a distance in the back of the room. And then this guy comes up, and I had seen this guy earlier, like order from the bar.
I think you're giving him more suave than you realize because you haven't hung out with enough people who do coke.
Yeah, well, enough. But yeah, in hindsight, he probably was on coke. But man, he just—he's about a 25-year-old guy.
Foresight, just current sight.
For basketball fans, think a very Christian Laettner type, just a tall frat boy, pretty boy, fast talker. And man, he just came up and just started a conversation with me while he's trying to order a drink.
That dude was filled with drugs.
Yeah,
he was filled with friendly drugs.
And it was it's how I would imagine ladies feel when just some dipshit is laying some real lame game on them, and they take pleasure in just shutting them down. Nope. I gave him a good old nope. I didn't literally say nope, but I forgot what I said to him, but it was like really sarcastic and really stern, and I looked him right in the eye, and he was like,
He wasn't threatening. He was a young person on new drugs.
Yeah, no, he wasn't threatening. It was just, my point was like, I was trying to articulate, whatever this is, keep it moving. Because I don't want whatever you're selling.
And he,
please don't talk to me.
And he was new to the game of like, holy shit. I hate this position, but it's not like you're upset about it. So I'm going to take the antagonist position. Like the guy being drunk for the first time.
Yeah.
Or, oh, wait a minute. I've harnessed a part of my personality that is everything I wanted to be. I finally...
You think he's excited that he could go up and talk to strangers?
I'm just trying to fucking polish this in a way.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'll still get him to this day. Like, nights we're like, all right, we drink, and we'll do whatever, and we'll get... And forget about coke obviously makes you more social regardless of input.
Yeah.
But a night where, you drink, but there's a night where you drink, Rick, you know what? I'm going to just talk. I'm not saying this guy does that. This guy was like, because I encountered him too, and I was like, you are tuned up, my man. And you're not a harmful man.
Yeah.
You're not predatory. You're a guy who is just It's like an animal. It's like, I'm a friend, pet me, and some people do, and other people just push your face aside.
Yeah.
He wasn't a threatening presence. He was just too much for some folks.
But the reason I was completely immediately turned off, because he wasn't a threatening presence, but he also wasn't like a benevolent, like it reeked of like used car salesman. Like, what are you fucking selling? Like, I'm not opposed to just talking to strangers.
He was into like trying to like get things going with strangers.
Yeah. And I'm like, not interested.
Have you ever gotten that kind of drunk under your belt where you're like, you know what? Tonight, I don't want to talk to people I know. And it's a rarity. Some people, it's their constant.
Yeah.
But it's never been for me. But once in a while, it's like, for some reason, things are in alignment. If, you know, hey, this is a Boogie Monster with Kyle and Dave, by the way. It's Boogie Monster. Hey, welcome to the Boogie Monster with Kyle and Dave. But if everything's in alignment and I'm not a, you know, a cosmic spiritualist or what have you. But sometimes you just go out and you're like, tonight's the night. I'm just going to strike up a conversation with strangers. Not in a shitty way, but I'm sitting next to somebody that's also not talking. I'm like, hey, man, how's your night going? Just in a cordial and be aware of their response. Yeah. If it's like a, ugh.
Do all it right, in a way that doesn't reek but of it's like, scam.
Yeah, but it's like, hey, you know what? It's all right. How are you doing? And you just have a chit chat.
Yeah.
Like, I was so afraid of that concept for so long.
Really? As the one initiating conversation or one who has to deal with someone initiating?
No, the one initiating. The idea, because it stemmed from the dating thing. And then, because I was telling you earlier, I went to the Gold Coast Bar on Santa Monica with Tegan last night.
Uh-huh.
And it's a gay dive bar that smells like vomit, which I had to appreciate. Because you want to put this idea of what a gay bar might be, like, oh my God, they're all going to be in drag. And I was like, nope, this place is shittier than any like straight cis bar. It fucking smelled like barf. And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, guys. And a dude just so easily hit on me. Not easily, like, because I'm a sweet piece of pie. But... Tegan was at the bar, and she was getting drinks, and the dude just, like, slapped my the coat I'm wearing now. I just slapped it. Slapped as the coat hanging on front. He's like, hey, how you doing? I'm pretty good. Like, instead of immediately going into, like, what do you want? I was like, hey, I'm pretty good. How are you?
Yeah.
I'm good. He's like, my name's Lewis. I'm like, I'm Kyle. He's like, all right. And I thought, like, the whole initiative, I'm like, oh, he knows me from comedy or something. And then I was like, no, man, he's just hitting on you. And I felt flattered. And then instead of being where I was like, hey, man, good to meet you. And then Tegan gave me a beer. I'm like, take it easy. And just a cordial exchange. And fucking why can't that be it in just in bars everywhere?
Yeah.
And not even a hit on way.
Uh-huh.
Like, why does everything have to revert? Like, if a girl wants to talk, like, why in a straight bar, like, a girl wants to talk to you? Oh, man, this girl wants to fuck me. No, she might just want to talk to the person next to her.
Yeah.
Same, oh, a guy wants to talk to me. He probably wants to, the gay dude. No. What if it's just the fact that you're sitting shoulder to shoulder to somebody in a crowded bar and they want to have a conversation? And you can entertain that conversation and see where it goes.
Yeah.
What's so crazy about
that? Nothing. I think that's great. My problem is I can read people. I know this sounds arrogant, but I can read people pretty well and pretty quickly. So I can sniff out a ding-dong pretty quick.
That guy was a ding-dong, but he's a harmless. A harmless ding-dong.
But it's like, you're a fucking ding-dong. Yeah. I don't have the energy to deal with you.
I did the same thing when he danced up next to me. He's like, are you here to see the old 97s? Like, yeah, man, because that's the band that's playing.
Yeah.
And then I just kept looking at, like, that guy was a fucking goof.
Yeah. No, but it's
sometimes there's just...
It's fun to just be like, yeah, I'm not going to partake. Chat. Yeah, whatever you're doing, do it somewhere else. Get away from me. I got the kitchen was closed. I got hungry.
Good. Chippy sauce.
Got Real great bartenders here. This guy, what was her name? The older lady, just sweet as she could be.
Mandingo.
And I said,
was that it?
I asked her if the kitchen was still open. She goes, nah, it just closed. And I was like, God damn it. And about 10 minutes later, she goes, you know what?
Whiskey hurts my heart.
Are you okay, buddy? Boy, you're that's a hell of a face you just made.
Yeah, I got heartburn right down to my heart.
Hey, be quiet, Kyle. I want to tell this anecdote about the time I got free chips and salsa.
Talk about them chips and salsa.
No, there's really not a whole lot to this story.
We haven't even cracked 30 minutes yet.
It was very sweet and considerate of her to go, you know what? I think I can get you some free chips and salsa. And I go, well, that would be great. And she did. Yeah, and I ate them, and it was great.
Yeah.
Just eating chips and salsa at the bar, just watching the old 97. So it's good.
Good story about humanity, Dave.
Yeah.
Should we have made this episode?
I told you no. Where are we at?
30 minutes.
30 minutes.
I literally looked down. It's 30 minutes.
Well, do you want to talk about anything else, Kyle? What else is on your mind?
I want to get in bed and like get comfortable, and we just hold the microphones to our chest.
That's so bad.
Why? It's all bad.
But at least now we're physically talking.
Our podcast is bad. Do you realize this? It's not a good show. Do you know that though, Dave? Like I like it.
I think it's all perspective. I think it's in the eye of the listener.
My perspective is that it's a bad podcast.
Yeah, well.
We don't give any information. we position ourselves as some sort of like have you listened to any other podcasts about paranormal stuff? They're so informed. We offer no information, and we're less than mildly entertaining.
No, I think we're very entertaining, Kyle.
More so than we are informative?
Well, by default, yes.
Information and entertainment are riding neck and neck for sixth place, I think, in what we're doing, Dave.
Well, what's one through four?
Everybody else. One through, exactly. I said sixth place, and you're like, what's one through four?
No, I mean like...
That means you forgot that fifth place was real.
No, my problem with that is my math still may be incorrect, but when you said they were neck and neck, if two things are vying for...
Sixth place. I said sixth place.
If there's six teams in a league and the bottom two are tied for sixth, there is no fifth. Do you see what I'm saying? Because one through four, and then two teams vying for six.
Hey, Dave, for once you overthought something. Congratulations. That was mean.
We're going to go look at the stars? Oh, that's okay, bud. That's not mean. I barely I barely got the joke.
It wasn't mean until I told you it was mean. I'm sorry, Dave. I was being mean to you. How so? Oh, don't worry about it.
Exactly.
We can't get a pizza delivered. We're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Oh, man.
This is what the Wild West is like. We're going to be cold in this room.
It's going to be great.
We're going to hold the pot. We're going to hold microphones to our chest.
Why do you keep wanting to do that?
Because I want to go to bed, but I also want to get weird. It's not good for people that want to learn anything.
Well, nobody. We never said
good,
that.
It's only sort of good for people that want to be entertained.
Uh huh.
We owe them more.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying don't fucking lay down and put the goddamn mic on your chest.
No, that's real. That's emotionally real, Dave.
Uh-huh.
If we laid down and held microphones.
Do you want me? You want to go ahead and lay down? You want me to tuck you in?
No, but I'm saying if we're just like that would let our guard down.
But
you know our guard's up so much.
Yeah. You can barely stand up.
Right now, nobody knows that you're sitting on a folded bed and I'm sitting on the bed and we're 2 feet away from each other looking at each other's faces with microphones on a nightstand. Like nobody knows what this looks like.
Uh-huh.
We're in a fucking Old West cabin motel.
Uh-huh.
We're both still wearing all our clothes because it's freezing in
here. It's so cold.
And we're face to face saying these things to each other. I think that gets lost when people are like, what's the podcast like? We're looking at each other directly from a few inches.
It's a nice room, though. It's a motel.
Yeah, it's the Pioneer Town Motel. If you live anywhere in Southern California, you should come here and have some frontier sex. Some deerskin condom sex.
That's a good idea, Kyle.
Not even like like you have a condom. You just have some deerskin.
Yeah.
And you poke your dong through.
Uh-huh.
I can't look at you during this thing.
No, that's okay. That's all right. Talk about condoms. What's going on with the...
talk about condoms. What's going on with the stars?
What's with the set?
You still believe in aliens?
Why is there a little... I don't understand.
Oh, this used to be an old movie set out
there. Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, it was an old Wild West movie set. Another one burnt down in the fires.
I wonder what movies they shot here.
Old West ones. Like, yeah. 2001 Space Odyssey. They shot it right in front of the fucking blacksmith shop.
Where do all the people at the show tonight?
Spaceships need new shoes.
Where do these people come from? We're in the middle of nowhere. There was 200 people there tonight. Where did they come from?
I think people,
there's only 10 rooms in this motel.
People made it a destination show because old 97s are popular.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Christmas. And you know what I'll say? I was like, oh, man, Christmas songs? Christmas songs still sound like dirty old 97 songs.
Yeah.
So good on them.
Yeah, they had a couple songs that I didn't realize were Christmas songs while they were ripping it up. And then every now and then he'd say something about Santa Claus, and then I'd put two and two together.
Yeah, it was still like a CD tune. Mm-hmm. It was like, it also Santa stole my whiskey or some shit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. I think they came out from Los Angeles. I don't think they're all desert rats. You could tell the desert rats. And then there's the new desert rats. It's like there's like the people that dress like it's still Coachella all the time.
Now, what does that look?
I don't know, like big hats with feathers.
Okay. Oh, like indie rock floppy hat girl, that kind of thing?
Yeah, very much. But it's also indie rock floppy hat dude.
Okay.
It's the same guy.
Floppy hat dudes.
Which, right on. You know.
Which, right on.
What am I going to do? Judge him?
That's the best part. I'd love to just sit at the bar and judge people.
Find your niche.
Man, can we talk about
your Instagram model status is shit in L.A.? Move to the desert. You were a 7, now you're a 9 because the competitiveness out here is less.
You should write that down.
You're always hot in the desert, baby. I'll stop the podcast right now. That's the best thing ever. Hey, you're always hot in the desert, baby.
Oh, God. What do you like about the desert, Kyle? Because I like the desert, but I don't know if I can articulate why.
That's a good question, Dave. Without sounding like an asshole, as we drove up, you're like, yeah, it looks like Mars. I think it's pretty, you know?
It is pretty.
And yeah. I think it's got its own tapestry. Like it depends on the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
High noon, it looks like shit. But if you ride it out to that golden hour, to that sunset hour, it's every shadow, it's very bedrock, Flintstones kind of vibe. And every rock casts its own shadow on the next rock that casts its own shadow on the next rock. And it's very beautiful. And that's the reward you get for sitting in the desert through those shit middle hours of the day. Which can be said for anywhere. If you sit through the shitty hours of the evening in some hot place that doesn't get a sunset, but then the nights are great and cool and amazing and the stars are great. I mean, no place gets 24 hours out of the day.
Mm-hmm.
No place is going to get all 24 hours. But the desert in the West, ooh.
It's so isolated out here. And it's a different type of isolation. Like, we both like to, you know, go out camping, go out in the forest. I love it whenever I get a chance to go up to the Redwoods. But it's, I think, because of the, what's the word I'm looking for? Starkness? Is that the word I'm looking for?
No, yeah. Stark, bleak.
Bleak. because of that, because there's just literally nothing here but sand and mountains and rocks. Yeah. But like, because there's no trees, there's no, you feel so exposed. Like, it's isolation, but it's also exposure of like, where at least in the forest, good, you can kind of hide.
Yeah, good angle. Like, whatever's going on, people know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no shade, no cover. So that's always intriguing to me out here.
That, okay, that you know what? When now that you said that, that's what that too. Like, I was on a little weekend trip in Lake Arrowhead, and I was like, "Raising Arizona," I think, is my favorite movie of all time.
It's up there,
especially the intro that leads up to the title screen, where them just set laying out the romance and everything, but then them. Saying, well, that you know, her parents staked us to a starter home in suburban Tempe, and it's still just a trailer,
yeah,
in that desert landscape. But it's them every night just sitting in a lawn chair watching the sunset over the desert. And I think from a little kid when I saw that movie, even though the movie was putting it as like, look at how bleak and shitty this is, I was like, that looks like the greatest place in the world,
yeah.
Like boulders and cacti and a sun setting over that like, and we're here now, we're sitting in it now. If take a trip to the desert, people listening,
it's so rad.
One of the best drives you can make in the contiguous United States. If you want to incorporate the ridiculousness of America and the geographic beauty of it at the same time, fly to Los Angeles and drive to Denver, Colorado.
Yep.
And see how preposterous Hollywood and show business is in LA. You will drive through, you can make the route through where we're at now. It'll be a side road because the road to Vegas is north of here. That's the 15. We're off the 10. See Joshua Tree. See Joshua Tree National Park. Go to the Mojave Desert. See Death Valley. And then see what Las Vegas looks like coming out of the desert. See the lights of see the ridiculous lights of Las Vegas coming out of the desert.
Yeah.
And then have yourself two or three stupid days in Las Vegas, because it's still one of the most American things you can do.
Yeah.
It's dumb, but it's also like, it's fun. You go with people you like. You've been to Vegas.
Yeah, yeah.
You go with your friends, though, and you're like, I actually had a great time. I didn't do the nightclubs or shit. I found the shitty casinos. I just walked around. I just people watch. Mm-hmm. Just make a people watching journey of Los Angeles. Make a road. And then once you leave Las Vegas, go see the Hoover Dam. Go see that man made creation.
Mm-hmm.
You been to the Hoover Dam?
I have. Yeah.
The fact, like, how much concrete they put in there. Insane. To stop.
It's crazy.
Just go see what humankind decided. What if we do this?
Yeah.
What if we drop this much concrete into a valley to stop a river? Or and then go to the Grand Canyon. You been to the Grand Canyon?
No.
Oh, Dave!
No.
Dave!
No.
I've been there 2-3 times.
Oh, yeah?
It's hard to look at it and not understand that you're not looking at a painting. And rarely in this world do you look at something. And I'm not exaggerating.
Uh-huh.
Like a rubbing your eyes kind of, hold on.
I've been to similar things, not the Grand. I've been to like out in Moab. I've seen huge canyons where I felt that way. Like, this looks like a painting.
And that's that whole road. That's the whole journey you can take.
Yeah.
Where you can't believe that the earth just created these forms in and of itself. Wind and time made these.
Yeah.
Moab, you can just straight up go like, oh, by the way, you'll be driving down the road, be a sign like, oh, by the way, there's dinosaur tracks. Fucking dinosaur tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here. Oh, this is a fun, weird desert. Also, by the way, that's a footprint from a dinosaur. A fucking dinosaur.
Hell yeah, dude.
Never mind that in the distance are the Arches. Arches National Park. It's named after that. I've heard people like Bryce Canyon better than Grand Canyon. Uh-huh. And then you cut out of there and you follow the Colorado River up through the western side of Colorado up to Denver, and it's you're on a mountainside cab. I'm running out of descriptive terms, and it's really one of the only times I get very patriotic is when I think about the geographic landscape of the United States.
Yeah, it's something to be proud of.
Like for what you want, for everything that's all fucked, mm-hmm. completely fucked. And if humanity's done for, Attenborough was saying, like, oh, the world's over now. Like, we're done. We got to get a drive. But, oh, I know it's the worst thing. Oh, my God. Oh, fuck. But gas, my fuck. It's over anyway. Yeah. Go see it. You could see every climb. You can see the. I may have said it on this before.
Yeah.
You can go in Florida. You can see the swamps of Florida. Go drive in Louisiana on that. It's still the 10. The fucking 10 goes 10 from
Jacksonville,
Santa Monica to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
The 10 alone in the side trips you
crazy.
Can take.
That's crazy.
I
love taking the 10.
I got into it. Sorry, Dave. No. I got real mouthy there.
No, man.
I get excited talking about just drive. And I wouldn't have done it on my own unless I had like comedy gigs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not even acting like, oh, just spend your 2 weeks of vacation. Yeah, I'm not
absolutely.
Like,
we're lucky.
I wouldn't have done that. If I had 2 weeks of vacation from a 40-hour week job, I wouldn't do shit. So
yeah.
I know that it's not an easy choice to make. Like, oh, let's undertake this tumultuous journey when I'm supposed to be relaxing from my shit day job.
Did I tell you I've driven cross country? And when I mean cross country, I mean from LA to at least Tennessee or Georgia. And sometimes further, about 19 times.
Did you?
I think the last time I did it was 19.
What was your favorite? What was your favorite stop off?
I mean,
even weird one.
I love like stopping in New Mexico or Arizona and getting way off the freeway and finding a little mom and pop cafe to get like some green chili. I did that last time. I was in, like, just can't remember New Mexico. Just some little bitty.
I did the same thing.
Place,
man.
In New Mexico. And just about 5 to 10 miles off the exit, just went south till I found some little bitty town. I love those little bitty just southwest towns. Because it's so different from anything I ever experienced growing up.
Do you think you would do that if, like, say you were working 9 to 5 every day, and then you got your chunk of vacation? I know I wouldn't. Like, yeah. I feel bad. Like, I know I wouldn't. I know if I had the time off, I wouldn't do shit.
Well, I know
I earned this time to sit there and do nothing. Yeah.
Before I was a comic, I had jobs where I had vacations and stuff, and never did I do anything like that. It was always just,
like, you want to make me plan shit for my time off?
Yeah.
It's my time off.
Yeah, but you should.
So, yeah, from a couple folks saying you should get out there and see the world. I wish my parents would make just go to New Orleans.
I love New Orleans.
Just make the drive. Like, just go down to New Orleans. Make the drive back. Ah, fuck. What are we talking about?
Eat a Cochon when you go to New Orleans.
Cochon was good.
Best meals I've ever had.
Yeah, it was good. Cochon was good.
Rabbit and dumplings last time.
I'm going to throw it down on Connie and Ted's in L.A. for my favorite food right now, because I'm a fish man.
I want to go there.
I'm a fish.
You're a fish man. Hey, I'm not trying to veer off into an actual Boogie Monster topic. But
yeah,
no.
Oh, God forbid we do what this whole thing's about. We're at 48 minutes. What's the topic, Dave?
No, we don't have a topic.
Bigfoot likes fish, yes or no? He does. Okay, thanks for listening. Don't forget to get Euros.
I'm not prepared to talk about
Euros.com.
With any degree of
shavedmeat.com
accuracy or information, but Man, every time I come out here, the desert mountains, I can't help but think UFO bases. In the mountain. I keep waiting for the crest of a mountain to just kind of just open up a fucking UFO fly
that,
out.
I will disagree with that's how it works.
Well, it could, Like, you don't think it's on hinges?
Like screw top mountain? Smirnoff mountain out there? Screw top?
Pivots. You don't think it just pivots? But I can't help but
one
think
one guy going, is everybody looking? No, it's cool. Go for it.
Dude, there's some stuff out there, suggesting that there might some of these...
There's some screw top mountains?
Southwestern, these deserts, some of these mountains might be used as...
I agree. I don't think they just fucking cock off. I don't think they just pivot like a fucking Cholula bottle.
Yeah, there's several ways it could happen. There could be a giant boulder, shifts, and now that's the entrance to the base.
Oh, you know what? Okay, all right. And as far as how they, okay, giant boulder, sure. I don't think the whole mountaintop's gonna move.
Uh huh.
I think but then you got to think about how big are the crafts.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess really what I'm saying, Kyle, is I'm less interested in the mechanical operations of these bases and more so just of their existence or the possibility.
The details are what makes it believable. Yeah. So that's why I want to know: is it like a lot of shit? I think it's like a door, like a garage door that sits on the ground that opens up. Horizontal garage door type of situation.
Or it'd just be some sort of cave, like some sort of entrance where you can't really see it.
But there's enough protective riffraff like hanging zigzag. Around. Like, get the fuck out of it. Like Area 51. I just want to look. And then the black SUVs.
Yeah.
All right, let's lock it down. We're at 51.
All right, before we wrap it up, I think you need
We're gonna record one in bed.
I'm going to set you up here and let you have some fun.
I don't want this.
Take some liberties. And explain what happened with the cream of asparagus. It's a real ding dong moment tonight.
Okay, all right. So we're at the old Pappy in here. It's a great bar. And again, start your journey here.
Yeah,
or start in L.A. and stop here.
So I'm feeling good tonight. I had a good time.
You ate gummies. Ate weed gummies. I went straight booze.
Yeah.
And then the bar, okay, they got a chalkboard menu above the bar with some drink specials, but they also have cream of asparagus soup. Uh-huh. And then you were going to get a
big sign said special cream of asparagus.
Cream of asparagus, and the word soup was slightly smaller than the word asparagus.
It was a lot smaller.
Well, physically, it's going to be small. It's four letters versus however many letters are in asparagus.
The font size was smaller.
All right, here nor there.
Uh-huh.
You're going, I'll get another one, but give me a shot of that cream of asparagus.
Yeah.
Dave, jokingly, as if I have to say jokingly, could you go, hey, also, get me a shot of that cream of asparagus. Get yourself one, too. Two shots cream of asparagus, really laid it on thick.
Uh-huh.
Thinking, oh, well, the joke's pretty obvious.
Uh-huh.
And then, what did you do, Dave?
I said, hey, man, yeah, can I get a water, Bud bottle, and let me get two of those asparagus shots.
Two of those what shots, Dave?
And then I pointed to it. I go, the cream of asparagus. Can I get two of those?
You ordered two cream of asparagus shots from a bartender.
Yeah. The first time I didn't want to say it. I thought it was a joke shot. I had already seen that sign, and I went, cream of asparagus? Huh. Because I thought bar, rock and roll band. I wasn't thinking restaurant. I wasn't thinking kitchen.
You weren't thinking restaurant? The place that gave you a full slab of ribs.
I ate them on their tour bus, so it was the atmosphere.
A full slab of ribs.
Yeah, in my mind, they could have come from anywhere.
Full slab.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they asked me what I wanted.
You ate 12-plus ribs?
I didn't eat them all.
Mashed potatoes.
I just had one bite. I didn't touch the coleslaw.
I'm probably going to eat
that. I didn't touch the vegetables.
I made that coleslaw right now.
Oh, yeah. I'll fucking eat that. But anyway, I thought, I saw the sign, And I saw it even beforehand, and I just thought, cream of mushroom. I said,
Dave,
I
said, cream of asparagus.
Cream of asparagus.
You ordered two shots of cream of asparagus soup.
I said to myself before, I said, that's a silly name for a shot. That must be like a joke shot. And then five minutes later, it sure was. When I was trying to get your order, and then you said that, and I went, huh, Kyle's feeling adventurous. Okay, I will join him in this cream of asparagus shot. And then when I ordered the guy just said, It's soup. And he looked at me like he was a fucking idiot.
The bartender said it's soup.
Yeah, and I go, oh, shit, man. Sorry, dude. I thought it was like a joke shot. But you know what? Seriously, this is kind of the little bow on top of the story. Even at that moment, I thought, oh, Kyle and I are both wrong. We're both a couple of monkey heads.
No, we're not. Yeah. We're not.
No, I know. But I didn't know that you had kind of set me up and that you were joking. I went back and I was disappointed to tell you, hey, Kyle, there's no such thing as a cream of asparagus shot. That was a joke.
Anyway.
And even at that moment, I didn't.
Dave's going to come in with some YouTube proof that Bigfoot's real.
Yeah.
The guy ordered two cream of asparagus shots.
Yeah, just wasn't thinking that it could be the soup.
I laughed hard. I'm busting your balls.
No, that's fine.
I laughed real hard.
Oh, I felt like a real bonehead. But
we were having a night, Dave.
In my mind, that was a silly, gross joke shot. And I was like, I'm game. Let's do that, Kyle. I will have one with you.
Just what the listeners need to know is that you know what Dave looks like.
Uh-huh.
And he walked up to a bar, a country western bar.
Uh-huh.
And just said, I'll have two cream of asparagus shots.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I was even thinking, like, what could it be? What's it going to be? I was excited to see what it was.
That's funny enough.
Yeah. I thought, like, are they going to puree some asparagus, throw a little gin in there? Like, what is that? This is going to suck.
Oh, gin? They thought they were going to put some gin and some pureed asparagus. You thought that far ahead?
No. I thought, like, I was trying to figure out, like, what is the concoction?
I'm going
to
barf.
You know, you want to keep it rolling? Please don't barf on me.
I'm not gonna. We're done. We did it. We did a thing.
All right. It's the Boogie Monster. Kyle,
we're gonna record another one in 3 minutes after I eat your coleslaw.
Uh-huh.
And that's not a metaphor. I'll fucking eat your coleslaw, dude. You're into tossing salads. I'll straight up eat your coleslaw. Fucking munch on your pre-shredded carrots and cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want it. Do you want that coleslaw?
There's a mayonnaise joke in there somewhere.
You still got mashed potatoes left?
Yeah, they're cold, but it's never stopped me. Let's take a break and eat some mashed potatoes and coleslaw.
I'm going to eat them. I want to record an episode.
Okay.
Sexily. Yeah, man, I said it.
All right.
Anyway, this is brought to you by Eeyore. What is that shit?
Just stop. We'll deal with that separately.
Oh, yeah. God forbid we lose a sponsor.
I need this job.
On Reddit, they're like, they play chase ads in our episodes. So I hope our episode has been interrupted by a chase ad. And also, fuck Chase Bank. Never bank with them. And I hope this episode ends with a cut to an ad that Chase Bank paid for. Because that means they paid money into a thing that will not give it back to them. And it's a minuscule effort, but Chase Bank can suck every dick. Unless Chase Bank likes sucking dick, and then I hope Chase Bank never gets to suck a dick. I don't know how to make it clear that I hope Chase Bank receives no pleasure.
S all the dicks.
Anyway, yeah, Chase Bank, suck all the dicks. Cut to a Chase Bank advertisement. Are we done?
Sure.
58 minutes. Do we need two more to make it an official marketable episode? We don't.
The Boogie Monster.
Oh,
Bye.